Hello and welcome to the ERP Organizational Change Journal podcast, brought to you by Nessel & Associates. Nessel & Associates is an ERP organizational change management firm serving the private equity industry. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Donald, the founder of Invert Ventures, a change strategy firm, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, Dr. Jack Nessel, the founder of Nessel & Associates, and the host of the ERP Organizational Change Journal podcast. The ERP Organizational Change Journal seeks to share expertise, insight, and create effective conversation to help guide ERP organizational change to real, measurable, and verified success, expanding what we can see so we can act in a more effective way. We seek to promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP organizational change community. The primary purpose of this podcast is to discuss, share, and reflect upon effective and efficient ways in which to realize ERP organizational change success. We will discuss the people, process, and technological components of ERP organizational change. This podcast is intended as a forum to study, share, and discuss ERP organizational change. It's our intention for this to be a collaboration tool and resource. We hope that you find this podcast useful as we share lessons learned, discover best practices, and explore the human elements and components of ERP organizational change. Our podcast draws on knowledge from extensive research, collaborative learning, practitioner experience of both project successes and project failures. A general review of the themes of ERP and organizational change practice, literature, and research suggests that understanding and critically having an awareness of tactics founded in principle is fundamental to ERP organizational change success. Our podcast will discuss these tactics, explore these approaches, and discover the principles that they are founded upon so that they may prove to be useful in addressing ERP organizational change challenges and risks.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm always looking forward to fun conversations with you and our guest. As we are a podcast that desires to engage in valuable insight into the world of ERP organizational change success with interviews and roundtable talk, our guests include experts and pioneers in the field, organizational stakeholders, practitioners, and researchers. We are a discussion on any and all things ERP and organizational change. Our podcast is a platform for those seeking to share, learn, and reflect on ERP organizational change success.
In this episode, we will discuss the value of objective ERP system selection with Mr. Mehdi Aftahi. Mr. Aftahi is the co-founder of Technology Evaluation Centers and the Chief Technology Officer at TEC, and he has 25 years of experience in the enterprise software industry. His developmental work led to TEC Advisors, a world-class decision-making system. Mr. Aftahi also holds a patent on the algorithm behind eBestMatch, the engine that powers TEC Advisors. Mr. Aftahi is an industry leader in the field of decision-making processes and has assessed the requirements of IT decision-makers, software vendors, consultants, and governments. As an expert in the area of matching customer criteria to software capabilities, Mr. Aftahi steered the creation of TEC's best practice software and selection methodology. Jack?
Thank you, Jonathan. So in this episode, we will explore further ERP system selection and true differentiators. ERP organizational change research is pretty clear in suggesting that the final selection of an ERP system should be considered as a strategic business decision. For instance, there's business modeling, there's business requirements, there's technical aspects, and many other costs and support-related influence that come into play during an ERP system selection. There is one best fit for each and every organization, and that organization owes it to themselves to find that one best fit. In this episode, we will examine some criteria in proper and objective ERP system selection. We will discuss with Mehdi how the ERP selection has to be aligned with strategic vision and how for the ERP systems, there needs to be a high level of communication and alignment of people, process, and methods for ERP selection. I know that in my field and amongst my peers, Medi and the Tech Advisor team and their product are well respected. And I know that there's a reason for that. And that is that sound ERP critical success factor research across many industries has existed since the mid to late 90s. And although many critical success factors have been identified, the literature has been consistent in that an organization does need to start with the right foundation, and that's the ERP system. So both practice and research demonstrates that organizations can perform inadequate ERP selection and learning and evaluation in terms of time and money. Organizations would benefit from the applicable, methodical, and disciplined approach towards ERP selection. In their paper, Neves, Fenn, and Salkus, for example, entitled The Selection of Enterprise Resource Planning Systems, they stated that, quote, the cost, complexity, and potential complications of implementing an ERP implies that serious considerations must be given to the selection process as well as between competing products. In fact, the authors state, or at least their work suggests, that there are some consistent approaches to successful ERP selection process, and that this reflects the inclusion of lessons learned from a historic selection process. The paper concludes that any organization considering purchase an ERP system should consider the same valuables. So let's learn more. Medi is a colleague to Nestle and Associates who shares a similar passion. It is such a pleasure to have you on our show today.
Hi, Jack, and hi, Jonathan. Thank you very much for having me here.
All right, let's dive in. Medi, first, to set the tone of the interview, I think it's relevant to share Technology Evaluation Centers or TEC's mission. So let me share that with our listeners. I think that's important. And that is, quote, Technology Evaluation Centers, or TEC, is an impartial software analysis firm. We do not represent, resell, or implement specific software solution. TEC's mission is to help organizations of all sizes identify the particular business software solutions that are best aligned to their individual requirements. So Medi, I know that your firm works closely with ERP vendors every single day, but your site is not full of ERP company ads. Why exactly are you vendor neutral? And that is, before we get into the selection process discussion details, why is it so important for companies to take an objective vendor neutral approach to ERP selection?
Yeah, it's actually a very good question. And we see this as a competitive advantage for our company and something that the clients, when they're looking for ERP applications, have to have that in mind when choosing the consultants. You need to know that the consultant's gain is tied to the gain of the project, and they don't have any commercial tie to the vendors that doing the selection for. Now, our company is an independent and impartial advisory service provider, which means that during our customer engagement, we are not influenced by any commercial engagement with the vendors, which means that we keep the client's requirements and the scope of the project forefront in our decision process, which I think results in the best solution or advice for our clients. So sure. We are not influenced by the third party or the money that comes from them.
Sure. Medi, amazing answer. It almost sounds like you're fiduciaries for ERP. I really like that answer. But before we dive further, many of our listeners come from diverse backgrounds. So can you, in your own words, share how you would define ERP for our listeners?
Sure. And this is something that, again, it's gone through many iterations of, since the late 90s when the ERPs came about in 2000s. If you realize, the ERPs came as the next generation to MRP, which was part of the manufacturing environments where they wanted to not just control the materials that are coming in, but also control the entire resources within the manufacturing environment. But as years go by, this concept of controlling all the resources of the company has gone past just the manufacturing environments. And now you can see that in any kind of industries, the same approach applies. So the way I define ERP for our clients is your entire organization's enterprise architecture and what you need to support your entire operations. So, you know, from the start to the end. So the most appropriate way of saying it is that if you can come up with a unique system, with one single system that covers your entire operations, that is your ERP. But in general terms, ERP as an enterprise resource planning, it controls the resources that you need to do your operations and produce the results, the products or services for that matter that you deliver to your clients.
What great context.
Yeah, great definition. I'm even guilty of sometimes defining ERP pretty generically as an organization's business systems in general. Because I think a lot of what we do at Nestle & Associates is effective, you know, ERP organizational change, but sometimes that's not, you know, technically, I suppose ERP is a different from CRM, for instance, or warehouse management, you know, customer relations management. So I have this tendency to define ERP pretty broadly. But thank you, Mehdi. That's a great description, a great definition.
And again, depending on the industry you are in as a client or any organization, the definition of the ERP doesn't change because it has to be an enterprise-wide application.
But right.
The modules that go in it, it may change. So you may have, for example, for a utility company, you may have your customer care and billing also part and partial of your entire ERP process.
Right.
But in a different scenario, customer care is not considered as ERP per se, right? So it really depends on your organization's approach. And that means that's why we are saying that every ERP is unique to the organization.
Great point, Mehdi. So as a quick follow-up to Jonathan's question, then, since you defined ERP for us, how would you kind of generically describe the benefits of ERP software?
Okay, that's a tall order, but
I think you're up to it.
We'll try. The first and foremost is the automation of your business processes and getting rid of the manual processes that you may have in your organization. I actually heard somewhere that they did a redefinition of ERP as Excel reduction program, which means that you need to have an integrated system to capture all the data. And today, you see a lot of organizations have a lot of their processes laid down in Excel sheets or various different systems that are integrated within Excel sheets, imports and outputs and things like that. So the first thing that comes to mind in terms of the advantage of having an ERP is to get rid of all those, desperate systems or manual processes, Excel sheets, and to try to capture all of your processes in a single system where you can know from that point on where your data resides. Now, what does that give you is it allows you to run reports and make decisions based on data that you can actually rely on and you know where the source is. Instead of having a couple of people within your organizations on a daily basis to massage the data and put them from Excel sheets to different legacy systems and bring out the report, you will now have the ability to see through the data. So basically, it allows you to not only see the entire operations, but also make decisions in how to change your operations to improve. The other advantage of ERP systems is to easily transform your organizations to adopt the best practices that are made for your industry. Now, as you can see, companies evolve in different organic ways. They grow, And within the organization, there are processes formed. And as they evolve, these processes can become cumbersome. And at a certain point, they become obstacles to the growth of the organization. Now, switching to an ERP or implementing a best practice ERP application allows you to realign your business processes with standards across the organization. At the same time, allows you to align yourself with best practices in the market, which is basically brought to you by the ERP vendors.
That's great. So I think, Mehdi, if I'm forced to distill that down into one sentence, I think what I'm hearing you say is that ERP systems help create organizational standards, they improve controllability, auditability, and they improve the timeliness and accuracy of business information. Is that a fair and accurate distillation? Yeah.
Yeah, it is true. At the same time, now, there are other advantages that are like secondary to this first mission, which is the data visibility and what, as you just said, standardization of the processes, which in turn allows you to be more efficient. So in order for you to do your daily work, you're going to be more efficient in doing it. Not only that, you are more agile in terms of responding to the parameters that are coming out of your outside of your control. So companies that had, for example, good ERP systems in place, they could handle the supply chain issues that are related to the COVID-19 better than the ones that, for example, didn't have good systems.
Sure.
So these are all the benefits that you can get, but to be, you know, pinpoint to a couple of things that considered as the advantages, the data and the visibility, and again, the process standardization that comes to my mind.
What a rich answer. I could listen to you define this because it's so nuanced and you keep pulling layers back. But I want to shift gears just a little bit here. There's an assumption I often see that only big businesses use ERP. So can you explain to our listeners what type of businesses really can benefit from ERP systems on both a scale and a scope level?
Sure. If you think about the definition of the ERP as we defined it today, it doesn't have a size component to it. So your operations from the start to the end has to be captured in a system that allows you to see the data, that allows you to see the processes properly. So yes, it is a concept that we are not that big for ERP, but maybe that's why you're not so big. So I should always question that. Like, do you want to be big? So you have to get your data in order for you to have the growth potential that you can have. So there is no a size for the ERP that as a concept, but of course you need to tailor the functionality. You need to tailor the amount of money that you want to spend in that ERP according to the size and the scope of your organization. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So if I'm hearing you right, and just so far in this conversation, there is a number of ERP solutions that can help businesses. And, you know, in my understanding of the marketplace, there's so many different ERP solutions that do so many different things. In fact, Jack recently told me that just for discrete manufacturing, there's over 93 vendors. Now, if I'm a business looking for an ERP, that seems like a huge number to sift through. And, you know, Jack mentions this a lot, that practitioners and research is pretty unanimous that the value of a proper ERP comes a great deal from system selection. So if picking the right ERP is so critical for our business and so critical for ERP, how do we do it right? So how do you see this decision for organizations to take all of these factors when making the choice for ERP vendor selection?
Sure. You know, there are 93 vendors in our discrete ERP, but there are many, many more vendors that can be considered as part of ERP spectrum in general. If you are a client that is trying to buy an ERP program, they're probably going to find many, many companies contacting them and offering them various services. Now, something to keep in mind is that if you want to put the ERP functionality in buckets, if I can say that, or silos, you have the core functionality, which is the back office features, which is HR and finance. To a certain point, maybe you can add sales and purchasing to it, which regardless of your industry, you need to have finance and HR, because companies need their finances in order, and also they need people and they need to sell their products or whatever that is. It could be products or services. So we consider this as a core ERP, and generally speaking, most of the organizations that offer ERP, they're pretty good at offering this core ERP functionality if you are in the right size. Then it becomes the niche criteria, or I wouldn't say niche, but more like industry-dependent, industry-specific modules. So, for example, you can talk about supply chain modules or supply chain-related, like a little bit of a supplier management, inventory management, quality control for the goods received. And also you get into manufacturing processes, maintenance and asset management, quality control for the end product. And these are, as I said before, an example. So if you are in the utilities, you can add into that module, list of modules, customer care and billing. If you are in the mining industry, you can talk about design and engineering processes. So these are the other criteria that can be added to your enterprise scope. And then you get the periphery or additional modules that can be added. So these are, for example, business intelligence, data analytics, project management, document management, workflow management, and things like that, which are going to be used within the ERP concept, but they are not as central to the success. But again, it would be nice to have a kind of feature. So you need to, as a company, when you go through these selection, you need to be able to differentiate between what your priorities are for each of these major scope within your organization. So, for example, how critical is this for you to have a maintenance module as opposed to, for example, an asset management module or a manufacturing module? So that is probably the most differentiating criteria for you to pick the right ERP, as opposed to, for example, HR or finance, which is probably less of a differentiating factor.
That's very helpful, Mehdi. And I just want to add, you know, as you'd mentioned, when you evaluate an ERP system, there's these kind of higher level buckets, you know, that you kind of walk through in this process that TechAdvisor does very, very well. And for one is you have to consider the business model, right? How good of a fit is that ERP solution for what your business model, right? Your industry, how you do business. The second thing then is functional requirements. And I know I'm talking from experience in case our listeners can tell, because I really love the product, but you know, you evaluate ERP solutions for over 8,000 functional, functional features. But then the third piece is market data, right? It's very important to understand the market data when you go through these ERP system selections. So for instance, that would include asking questions around, well, what's your pricing? Of course, that's an important one, but also what's your implementation methodology? What's your success rate? There's lots of questions that come with that. So you look at the business model, you look at functional requirements, and you look at market data. And the reason I say that, Mehdi, is I just want to share with our listeners really quick. You know, you spoke of this idea of the business model, but just quickly to give listeners an idea of what I'm referring to, there's different ERP systems that cater to different business models. So there's ERP for business, for process manufacturing, as you'd mentioned, Mehdi. There's ERP for discrete manufacturing, ERP for engineer-to-order manufacturing, ERP for mixed-mode manufacturing, ERP software for small to mid-sized manufacturing, ERP solutions for the distribution industry, specific, you know, niche ERPs, solutions for the service industry, for instance, oil and gas solutions for school districts. I could go on and on, but I just wanted to give our listeners a sense for what I mean and what we're talking about when we talk about how well does the solution match the entity's business model. And so there's ERP solutions that kind of cater to these different models and in these different industries.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, the organization may actually not be a direct match to any of these. So we have to still tailor make that ERP model to fit exactly what the client's requirements are. So these are, as you mentioned, these are standard categorizations, but you may have, for example, a company or organization that it's doing some part discrete and some processes or some of the manufacturing can be considered as process or has a mix with an ETO inside it. So it really depends on, you have to define the scope based on the client's defined business processes and their needs.
Absolutely. So, Mehdi, I want to ask a question that I know that I've seen you and your team put some articles out on this, and it's so true. And that is, can you speak to the idea of strategic vision and how the ERP selection has to be aligned with strategic decision?
Sure. This is a very good question and good concept, because you are not buying an ERP every year, right? So the ERP system that you're purchasing today has to carry the company forward and enable you to reach your goals and your future visions. So what we do typically in our engagements, one of our first sessions with the client is usually with the executive management and their board. So we look at their vision into the future, and we try to understand how they see their organization evolve through the time, let's say 5 years or 7 years down into the future. Now, that really determines how well you have to adopt the business processes or the best practices, and what kind of applications you have to buy or purchase, implement to enable you to reach that goal. Now, where you are today typically is very different than where the executive management or executive team's vision is. But if you talk to the individuals within the organization, they all think that they're aligned. Now, ERPs, there are two different perspectives in why you need an ERP. Also, one is that your current operations there is not performing very well. So you're not able to fulfill your orders, or you have problems and quality problems or customer satisfaction problems or things like that. But also, you can look at ERP as a way to take you to the next step. An ERP could be a way for you to streamline and get your customer satisfactions so you can get more customers, so you can grow into different markets. If you have the right tools in place, then you can actually go through this to fulfill the mission that is made for you. Now, having said that, it means that then the vision is really one of the major criteria in your selection. So you cannot ignore the vision of your organization and try to just fix the current problems. Fixing the current problems, it could be done, for example, I'm just half joking here, it could be fixed through an Excel sheet. Right?
That's
not the vision, right? The vision should be, We should fix the current problem, but also avoid similar problems in the future. We should also be able to expand, for example, our products, expand our reach, expand the growth of our company.
Great answer. Mehdi, I want to shift a little bit because something I hear, and I know Jack talks about a lot, and NNA, is that this belief that there's one best ERP solution for each and every unique organization, and a requirement that NNA views that the organization needs to take the time and effort to find that one best fit without making assumptions. And Jack recently wrote an article on this to make this point. One of the things I want to get from you is, what do you think are the dangers of making assumptions when it comes to ERP selection, whether that's human bias or just things we're not seeing? How do you think about that?
Yeah. You know, in general, we tend to try to always shortcut our ways to get to the answer, right? Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, you just said, you make assumptions. But the assumptions, not all of them are bad, actually, but some of the bad assumptions that we can make is that, oh, our company is the same as the other company or our competitors or our sister company. And these assumptions may be getting you to get to a, you know, quicker answer in terms of what ERP system. But then when it comes to actual implementation, then you hit a wall there, because then you realize that your assumptions that our companies are similar is not true. We have organizations that we work with, and the different departments within the organizations, although they think they are similar, they are completely doing things differently. So, in order for them to have a standard system, one of them has to make a compromise, or the application has to be tailor-made to one department and the next. So, in general, we think that, although I agree with Jack that there is a unique ERP system for every company, it is to do with the way it was implemented. Now, of course, there could be 1,000 different SAP implementations or Microsoft AX implementation or 365 implementation, but if you think about it, that each of these different implementations are unique. They're not ever similar because there are different ways of doing things within each of these individual organizations. So you have to find the best ERP that allows you to have your own variation the quickest and with the least amount of effort and the least amount of cost.
And I think, Mehdi, excuse me if I may, I just want to interject. And I think that's with what you said, I think what you're telling our listeners that finding that quote-unquote one best fit for an organization may not actually come down to functional requirements. If you consider the business model, the functional requirements, and the market data, which like you said, that includes methodology, that includes your comfort level with the approach, your comfort level with the vendor and the practitioners on the ground. That's a big piece of the decision-making process. So, you know, you got three tier one vendors that are very similar in their ability to perform a specific functionality. They may vary quite a bit in kind of how they approach the market or the implementation rather. So you got to find that approach that best fits your strategy in your organization. Would you agree with that? And so therefore, that's why your tool is so valuable, because you're looking at that holistic picture. You're not just looking at functionality.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think I forgot to mention that a big piece of that process and the selection is the system integrator and the way and the experience that they bring to the table. You just talked about the company's approach to, you know, the vendor's approach to the product development, their product roadmap. It should also be considered in your purchase, because as I said, you don't want to do another purchase within a year or two. So you want to have a system that is there for at least 5 to 10 years. So if you're looking at a product that is coming to an end of its life cycle, even if it's a big, good fit for you, maybe it's not the right choice to buy right now. And these are all different criteria that you have to consider as also the consulting services, the implementation services, training services, which is a very, very important part of the acceptance of your people within your organization. And also, again, the system integrator and their ability to bring you the best practices. As a matter of fact, in our methodology, we combine all of this into one single selection process. So we never promote the idea that you need to go select the software, and once your software is selected, now you go look for the system integrators and who's going to implement it. So we combine the two together. So we ask the vendors to come up with their system integrators and then present a common proposal to us with their technical expertise. That way we can evaluate not only the system functionality, but the ability for them to transform our business with the best practices that only comes from their consultants that have worked in similar industries and know how to configure the system properly for our clients.
That's a great point, Mehdi, and I think that's where your methodology and that holistic approach is so valuable to organizations. When you look at the business model, number one, the functional requirements, number two, and then the market data. And again, the market data includes, like you'd mentioned, training, implementation approach, pricing, customer base, whether it's a smaller ERP niche player or like an SAP or Oracle, that holistic kind of combination and consideration of all those factors is really important. In fact, Mehdi, this really isn't a comment, but just to share with our listeners, you certainly are not alone in your view in the value of objective and vendor neutral ERP selection. There's been some sound research in this area, as I mentioned previously, and across many different industries since the beginning of the study of ERP or ERP organizational change. And although there are several critical success factors that have been identified, and that's like you said, Mehdi, it could be, you know, a success factor, for instance, can be your implementation approach. It could be your training. How effective is your training? What does that look like? But one of the things that's very consistent is as I'd mentioned, is to start with that right foundation and the ERP selection. So just to illustrate for our listeners, lots of great articles, objective vendor neutral studies. For instance, Lee Chen and Kang in 2019 described that one of the major reasons for the failure of ERP assimilation is that the selected solution is not a good fit for the firm. Another one is a proper and diligent selection phase of your ERP implementation plan is critical as it allows further investigation to all possible implications within and upon the business. So both practice and research demonstrates that organizations can perform inadequate ERP selection, learning and evaluation in terms of the time and money that they spend. And that is an article through Neve, Sven, and Salkas. Another one, change management, inadequate selection, and low top management are critical success factors. That's Wamba and colleagues. And just to share two more really quick, one paper determined that there were several high-level categories for ERP success, and one was ERP selection. That was Desdar and Solomon in 2013. And then, you know, this idea that ERP selection is crucial is not only a consideration and a idea that is very valuable now in 2021, but it's also something that was recognized back in 2000. So for instance, Dr. O'Leary had stated that risk or success factor categories to be considered within each of the technical, business, and organizational categories would be the decision to implement ERP and the ERP system selection. Point with all that is I think that's why there is a demand for your product, Mehdi, because those people that recognize and understand the critical nature of selection need a good, objective, thorough, holistic approach to making that selection.
Yeah, that is very true.
There's so much insight that you both have on this topic. One thing I often hear is if the selection process is so important, how do we move past the human side and with the human side around company politics and align our stakeholders, not just to any solution, but to the right solution and being aware of our human bias in the process. Maddie, do you have any thoughts here?
Sure. This is a topic that actually comes a lot in our engagements with the clients. And we often have groups or individuals within the organizations that for one reason or another, they're against the entire project, or they think that you can do an ERP, but we're keeping our system, you know, separate. There are some definitely politics involved within any organization of any size. And the approach that we are taking in getting everybody's buy-in is to not alienate them. And, you know, because we are a third-party organization walking into an organization, we are obviously not aware of the internal politics. So that gives us an advantage. Also, the fact that, you know, we're trying to listen to individuals. We are trying to listen to each, you know, department separately. And also in a bigger picture, we have sessions where multiple departments talk to each other and actually exchange information that allows them to feel comfortable in the fact that they are part of the decision. It's not a decision that is made by the IT or by the executive management that is forced down onto them to take an ERP or a different application. They feel themselves enablers of that change. So they're part of the decision-making process. That allows them to just let their guards down and join the process. And that's how you basically create a consensus going forward. We have many examples that in companies that we go to, organizations that we deal with, there are, as I said, there are departments that say, okay, our applications, the modules that we have, we are buying, we are actually using this application and it's perfect for us. We don't want to touch it. You guys want to go do ERP, go do it. We'll integrate to it. But after the fact that they see that everybody else is moving towards an integrated solution and everybody is basically convinced that their life is going to be easier, they're going to join in and they're going to say, okay, we want to be part of the community now again. So in a way, by enabling them to participate into the process and the decision-making process, you are, you know, eliminating that resistance as well, and you allowing them to be owning the decision. That's the critical point in any ERP selection. As you know, if you push an application, even if it's good, towards somebody that is in purchasing or in maintenance or anywhere else, they're going to say that, how does the IT know what I do? You know, I know my business the best, so they cannot tell me what to use. But if we turn that around and ask them, now the difference in dialogue is the dialogue is different, and they're going to be participating into the process.
Yeah, your explanation there just hit the nail on the head, I think, and it's so valuable as a practitioner. I feel that insight is critical. You know, I think that not only your firm and your product itself is based on an objective vendor neutral approach, but it's based on data. It's based on objective data results. You know, what I mean by that, to kind of back up a step, is, you know, what you were saying about the buy-in and the commitment and the ownership from the organization in this process is absolutely critical. And for many reasons, number one, you want to make sure that you capture the appropriate functional needs from the folks that really understand the functional needs. And you need to let them know that their voice is heard, right? That it's valued and that they have a say in the selection. Because once you do that, then once somebody buys into something and they feel like they're at least being considered and listened to, you know, they're much more likely to kind of promote and advocate for the effort. And I think with the approach of Tech Advisor as well, and just for our listeners, that involves sending as many internal functional team members or stakeholders as you wish this kind of a template where they get to determine and indicate what functionality they think they need and how they would prioritize it, right? And then you take this feedback from all of these stakeholders. You folks have a patented algorithm, which I think is very effective and very, very objective. And it just kind of helps present some data, again, that is based on being objective. And so what I tell people all the time, once you build a sound objective business case, it can be hard to argue against it. And so I think that's hugely beneficial to an organization during the ERP selection process.
Of course. And that's the key, because without that, you cannot come to a successful acceptance from the user community, regardless of the application.
Yep.
You need to
absolutely
have
it. Yeah. We talk about the triad all the time, and Jonathan and I on our show here refer to the triad of ERP organizational change, which is people, processes, and technology. You know, right now what we're talking about is just the value of the human piece and the culture. And it's not just a matter of using a tool to determine a ERP selection like yours, but inherent in your product is it just advocates for this idea of exactly what we're talking about, you know, stakeholder involvement and commitment. So very important. So, Maddie, man, I can't even believe it's we're coming up on our last question here. It's been such a fun conversation, very insightful. But I do have one more question for you today. And that is, lastly, we love learning from our colleagues and friends. And so I'm going to ask a question that we ask all of our friends and guests on this show. And that is, if you had to distill down your years of experience, expertise, and research, what would you say to our listeners and fellow practitioners and business leaders in terms of the keys for successful ERP organizational change through proper selection? If you had to distill down your experience and expertise in three or four sentences, what would you like our practitioner friends and listeners to take away from your experience?
Yeah, so you need to focus on the scope of the application, and you need to lock that scope down, get the functional requirements, evaluate the vendors properly, and get their implementation partners commit to that scope. And the most important part is to get the commitment from your key stakeholders within the organization before you sign the contract with the vendors. So that scope and the functionality that you agree on should be the cornerstone of your contract with both with the vendor and also with your internal stakeholder. And that's where you can avoid the scope creep in your implementation, which you know that most of the ERP implementations fail because, not that most of them fail, most of the failures are because of the scope not being defined properly, and the expense and the timeline drags on, and eventually the company cannot handle it anymore.
So true. Great insight. Maddie, thank you so much for your time today. As a friend and a colleague, we appreciate your time and your insight. Very fun conversation. I wish we could chat for a couple more hours and share some of your experience with our listeners. But thank you for your passion to our trade. Thanks for your time. Thank you again, and be well.
See you guys again. Thank you.
Wow, Jack, that was an amazing conversation.
It sure was, Jonathan. So much fun. Please join us in our next episode, Business Intelligence and ERP Systems, a conversation on emerging technology and innovative ideas with our esteemed guest, Dr. Daniel O'Leary. Dr. O'Leary is professor at the University of Southern California Marshall School of Business. Among many others, Dr. O'Leary has published articles in Management Science, Decision Sciences, IEEE Intelligent Systems, International Journal of Human and Computer Studies, and Decision Support Systems. He has served as editor of IEEE Intelligent Systems and the International Journal of Intelligent Systems in Accounting, Finance, and Management, and he has served on the editorial board of Enterprise Information Systems, Expert Systems with Applications, and International Journal, International Journal of Accounting Information Systems, Information Technology and Management, and the Journal of Information Systems. Please join us again next week for another great conversation.
Listeners, thank you for joining us on today's episode. We are incredibly excited and grateful to have friends, colleagues, and mentors join us on our podcast. We have an incredible lineup of guests, including ERP and organizational change speakers, authors, professors, researchers, pioneers in the field, practitioners, PE partners, business executives, ERP vendors, and organizational stakeholders. We invite you to leave us feedback and a review because we want to make this the most useful and insightful podcast you listen to, and we need your help to do so.
Thank you, listeners, for being with us again this week as we seek to, one, promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP organizational change community, two, contribute to the field of ERP organizational change, and three, bring research and practice closer together. Please join us again next week as we discuss the latest ERP organizational change research, practice, and stories. Our podcast will draw on knowledge from extensive research, collaborative learning, and practitioner expertise and experience. Hashtag the ERP Organizational Change Journal.
From everyone here on the team, Jack and myself, we wish you a great week, and we hope to see you again soon on another episode.
Have a fantastic week.
Bye for now.